From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
What say?
Congrats to Carrie and Josh. I am Paul.
I am Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Today is Wednesday, the rarest of podcasts beasts. June the 3rd, 2009.
And this is show 042. Insert your favorite Douglas Adams joke here.
Or all of them. Quick rundown of the big board. Which is much smaller than it used to be.
Yes.
There are 127 minions in the Paul
Storm.
Try
177.
Oh, sorry. My handwriting is so bad, I can't read it.
I can read your handwriting, and I can't even see it.
Then it must be good handwriting. 177 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Millions. Yes, more than
Brigade
half.
Brigade of Millions? Wow, you're on fire tonight.
Well, it's late. Did I mention
it is
that
late.
It's late?
This is true.
It's
and you've
11,
been at a ball
17.
Game.
Well, I was at the ballpark, but it was raining so much that that there was no game. They might be playing it now because Randy Johnson's going for his 300th win, but that's not interesting. 177 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. The Disciples of Lore, more than halfway filled. Go to paulandstorm.com to get on board that train. Then we're going straight over to Poochie Corner, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Folks discussing us, in brief. Look for our interview with Flayne Falcon, furry podcast. Had a very good interview with him while we were down in Atlanta.
Yes, we also had a quick one with the guys at whatthecast.com while I'm remembering it.
I think you can find links to both of those in our summary wrap-up super report.
In theory, I don't know if Flayne's podcast is up yet.
It will be, maybe.
It will be eventually. We will post the link when we get it. How about that?
There we go.
Fair enough.
Trying something new today.
Yes, or so, semi-new. We tried this briefly a podcast or two ago.
It's sort of a matter of degree. We are now in the fresh. We did try this before, and we did it, where we took requests on Twitter, told people we were going to be doing the podcast, and to let us know what we should talk about. This time, mostly because we're unprepared, we are going entirely, somewhat tangentially off of these requests.
Yes. Why don't you go first, Storm?
First, I'm going to make an observation.
Go ahead.
That is, and this doesn't surprise me, and it won't surprise most of you, I think, that a disproportional amount of the requests relate to food.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's because our audience at this point is a mirror of us and what we talk about.
Yeah, that scans.
So I love you people. This is great.
I love you guys.
There are a couple in particular I liked. Would you mind if I read a few out, Paul?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Someone who we are acquainted with asked us said we should discuss our favorite nut variety.
Mm-hmm.
Someone suggested we should talk about grits. Choco tacos. And mm-hmm. They can see into my brain on that one.
Yeah.
Cereal mascots and peanut butter and jelly in the same jar. So among those, I'll toss it back to you because my brain is just popping on all of these. What should we talk about?
Let's go Choco Tacos because that one seemed to speak to your heart.
Well, it does as a food item. And the great thing was, I don't know, am I this predictable? The person who Twittered it suggested that it would appeal to my intellectual side and that I would be able to say how it basically encompasses the American dietary habits.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It does.
It does. It's an unhealthy thing that is made to resemble another entirely unhealthy thing.
Beyond that, only in America, well, certainly other places too, but in a society that likes to combine things, you've got a taco, which it's like an American taco, though, like the California taco, the one with the hard shell. It looks like that with an ice cream bar thing happening. And I would say, yes, that it is emblematically American.
Oh, and on top of that, the if I'm not, you know, I'll be honest, I've never actually eaten a Choco Taco.
They're delicious.
Is the taco portion, the taco shell portion, is that actually like waffle cone material?
Yeah, you know how...
That makes it like infinitely that much more American, I think, to have incorporated the waffle. It's sort of like a full meal. It's breakfast. It's the taco itself could be lunch or dinner, and the fact that it's ice cream is dessert.
Yeah, it's mana, I think, when they talk about mana from, you know, mana comes from that they were talking about the taco, Choco Taco Taco.
The Choco Tacos rained from the heavens.
Which actually kind of leads neatly to another one of the food things. So the taco has been American bastardized and desertified, as has Italian food. And I believe this next one, actually a couple of these came from our good friend Molly, Molly 23. She posited, and I am wondering to myself, there are all kinds of drive-through and fast food restaurants, but there is not a national chain of drive-through Italian. Now,
does Fazoli's have drive-through?
If they do, they don't advertise it, and it's not like, and there's certainly a lot of quick Italian, but it's true. There's no place where you walk in, and you'd think a slice of pizza, if nothing else, would be a natural, and I know that McDonald's has test marketed like McPizza.
Yeah.
So
you could say the same thing about Chinese food too. I'm trying to think if there's any national drive-through. If there's even a national chain of Chinese, I don't count P.F. Chang's.
Well, that's certainly a national Chinese chain. And
well, no, I'm thinking, but like a drive-through level. You know, there's Olive Garden is a national Italian, and in fact, they probably, I believe, they have a to-go dedicated section anymore. But no drive-through.
Both Italian and Chinese seem to have landed the food court route, whereas burgers and wings and pizza have gone more of the fast food route. And you could say that Italian has in the form of pizza, in that no, you know, you don't consume it the same way you would consume burgers. But it's certainly in the same category. What do you want for dinner tonight, my family? Burgers, chicken, pizza, you know?
I will posit this, even though I'm sure the logic won't hold up to any scrutiny whatsoever, is that there is not a viable national drive-through Italian or Chinese chain because neither food type is comfortably eaten in your lap or in the driver's seat of a car.
It's not hand food. Pizza... You're going to say, I can hear you out there. You eat pizza with your hand. Yeah, you do. But usually you need more napkins to eat pizza than
Would you drive and eat a slice of pizza at the same time?
I think that's it. That's the key right there. How does the food relate to the car?
It's like it's just like, you know, there's no drive-through soup.
Ooh. You know, I've got it.
What's
I'm
that?
Going to open a chain after I open my poutinery, which is going to be Gravy Davies, home of the monkey fries, and you can also get Canada fries, which are just the regular type.
Right.
I'm going to open a chain of, like, stick foods and cup foods. So I'm going to have Thai satay. You know, you can cruise down the Great White Way with your satay in your hand. And instead of a drink, you know, it's a meal, it's a drink, it's in a cup, and it's closed, so it doesn't matter which one it is, because you're taking it through a straw, and it could be a meal. So you have things on sticks and things that can be served in a cup.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you say things on sticks, do you mean things, that, foods that are normally found served on, or at least can be found served on sticks, like corn dogs and such? Are you talking about putting like a steak or any type of food and just ramming it onto a stick?
Well, my
and
first
calling
thought
it to-go food.
Well, my first thought when you said things on sticks, I thought of, you know, lumping gravy on top of Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah.
After I thought that, no, I think you need to innovate. If you're talking about being a chain of stick and cup food, that you need to innovate. You need to come up with new things that you can put on sticks.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a way to put stew on a stick, then that's gold.
Stew on a stick. Maybe that, and maybe the mascot would be named Stew.
Stewie Stick.
Stewie the Stick.
And I guess his sidekick is, which leads us to
his
one
sidekick
of the other.
Is Dennis DeYoung.
Boom. Next franchise. This actually leads us neatly.
All right, maybe he opened,
Yeah,
what if he opened, like Kenny Rogers style, what if he opened the franchise? Like he was the face of the franchise. You could be the guy behind the guy, but it'd be like Dennis DeYoung's
Kenny Rogers'
Kenny Rogers' stick and cup based drive through foodery.
And for dessert, Choco Taco.
Yep, of course.
And it leads us to one of the other topics that I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't have the Twitters is up right now, or I would assuredly pronounce who you are.
I have them here, so when you say it, I'll try and find them.
Okay, I think it was one of the earlier ones, or maybe in the middle, or maybe at the end.
It was either in the beginning, the middle, or the end. Gotcha.
Yeah, so look there first.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about our first car. Not collectively, not like you and I, you know, bought a Miata or something, but each of our first cars. And since
Zach Mannen.
Since I called it Paul, if you want to do the honors first.
My first car that was dedicated to me, as opposed to, you know, driving my parents' car. The first car they purchased, well, I didn't own it myself. It was the one that only I drove, was a 1972 Dodge Polara.
Oh, yeah.
It was banana yellow. Actually, I guess it wasn't banana yellow. It was sort of a tannish, yellowish beige, if that makes any sense.
The most attractive color that wasn't offered as a refrigerator color at the time.
Yeah, pretty much. It was the color of the sort of off-white of the 1970s kitchen appliances.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge boat of a thing. The gas tank, the gas cap was under the rear license plate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It took regular gas, as in leaded gas. I had to use leaded substitute at the time. And I drove that sucker into the ground, and it was an awesome car. It had the big, fat bench seat across the front.
Was it vinyl seats? That
it was not. It was like a cloth seat.
So you didn't get the sweaty thing happening?
No, I managed to avoid that, yes.
Okay.
But it was beautiful and awesome. I drove it for a summer, and I drove it into the ground.
Now, was it your parents' car that you inherited?
No, they actually bought it from the dad of a friend of mine.
Okay.
Who just had it as his beater car and didn't need it anymore.
It was through the Interdad network.
Yes.
Which everybody had. Well, not everybody, but
yep.
There is a network.
Yep. Before there was the internet, there was the Interdad network.
That's our front runner, I think.
Yeah.
For podcast title. Oh,
you bet.
10-minute mark was about 4 minutes ago.
Yes. So how about you? First car.
My first car I did buy from the family, our family. It was a 1978 Chevy Malibu. Which
that was the sound of me getting mail.
That was
I was not. I mean, I approve of your Malibu, but that wasn't like a you've given the right answer in the secret word for today or anything.
Oh, well, that's too bad because I know what the prize was for that. Anyway, and really, I think my first car set the pattern for my life, or not my life, but my life with cars. In that it was a four-door plum-colored family car.
Mm-hmm.
But lurking beneath the hood was a 305 V8 engine.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a hair care product to me.
It was. It was sort of the deal. And when you bought the car, you got a lifetime of hair care product. But Chevy's definition of lifetime was like 3 months.
Right.
But they added, you know, it was planned obsolescence for your hair. So I loved the fact that I could be tooling down the street. I didn't really tool, but you could be tooling down the street.
You tootled, at least, if not tooling.
Oh, no. I was a holy terror.
Okay.
As you can well imagine, and terrors don't tootle.
I indeed can.
Terrors don't tootle. And at the flick of your ankle, you could just blast by or through anything. And no one suspected the plum four-door Malibu. And ever since, that's sort of been the cars that I've liked. Like, I like a fast car, but I don't like it to look all goofy and fast.
You like the stealthy fast?
Yeah. Like, you make fun of the fact that I admire BMWs, all right? And in particular, the M3 or the M... any of the M's.
Oh, God.
Because...
Yes.
Because they're fun to drive and they're fast, but when you look at them, it's not like a... lot like a, you know, with the spoiler and with the ground effects and
right
and all of that. Now, I know that when you look at them, you think douchebag.
Yeah, I pretty much think balding midlife crisis douchebag.
Which is, you know, why I'm glad that I'm never going to go bald, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, which kind of brings me to a thought of my own.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... I think I have professed my love for the Trans Am, which is kind of a, you know, cartoony fast car.
Yeah.
I've never owned a car like that. But part of me would still like to be like Jay Leno at some point if I ended up with millions and billions of dollars.
Right. You want like an airplane hangar filled with cars?
Yeah. Like, I love the muscle cars. I really do. And I know it's stupid, you know, someone who thinks, in theory, shouldn't like muscle cars.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. And not just the muscle cars. I do like cars. And I'm a little puzzled now about what are the current cars that are out now that people are going to be 30 years down the road saying... Man, you know, when I was a teenager or in college or whenever, God, did I want that car. Now I can get it. All right. I've got it. I have got my fill in the blank.
Right.
Is there a car now that is going to be collectible? Or have we gone past
that's a good question. We've had this discussion in the past on a trip somewhere, I think. And the answer is, I have no idea because I don't know much about cars. I think the closest we came was maybe the PT Cruiser, but it's sort of a cheat because it's sort of, you know, it's getting the whole retro vibe itself.
Right. Right. Same with the new Mustang, the new Camaro. They're just ripoffs of that old look.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you count the Mini?
Sure. I mean, anything that someone couldn't afford when they were younger... that they coveted, that they suddenly can afford. Personally, I don't think that it's like that anymore. And I wonder, is there something, if not a car, that as a culture or as an individual that you are or were or could imagine being obsessed about? And I guess the key is something that's expensive. That
Angelina Jolie.
Well, there's only one Angelina Jolie.
Well, now there is, but in the future,
robot
when
Angelina
future technologies
Jolie.
To make robot Angelina Jolies.
You know what? You might be right. If the technology gets to the right place, you could recreate in Android form that cute girl, that cute guy you had a crush on when you were younger. That could be it.
You could set up scenaria.
Yep. Yep. You can
you
even
have it.
You can build them into a car.
Yes. I'm going to blow through a few of these here.
Sure.
This one, I didn't find the name of the person who wrote it. It was just a quick one. Are we going to be at Comic-Con this year? Oh. No, we are not.
No, neither Comic-Con.
Sorry. Yeah. And well, you know, we're not invited. And I mean, you know, they didn't invite us. No, but, you know, we're not, you know, guests. And I personally don't think I would want to attend Comic-Con if I didn't have sort of the guest backstage access thing happening.
Yeah.
The few sort of famous or semi-famous types we know who do attend Comic-Con say the same thing, because it has just grown to such ridiculous proportions. We don't have the dedication that, you know, many fans out there do to want to, you know, stand in line for 4 hours and then sit in a conference room for another three just to see this one particular panel we want. So go ahead.
We're kind of spoiled, too.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
Certainly in the past year and a half, we've more or less been meeting and or engaging with people that we really admire, you know, and which is pretty awesome. But even like if there was a band that I liked and they were here in my hometown, you know, it's sort of.
I mean, like maybe, I don't know, the presidents of the United States of America?
I wasn't going to. That's not the example, because I did have the super awesome hookup for that show.
Yeah, that was super and awesome. Some nice luck there. Thanks, Jason Finn.
Yeah, shout out.
Well, friend, not for me, because I wasn't there, but you were there and had a wonderful time.
Now, he knows I thank him, and well, he does now, because I said it.
Because you dropped, well, I dropped his name for you.
Yeah. See, you're so good at that. You know, I am. I sound so insincere when I thank people. Like,
that's because you're an insincere person.
But I'm not.
I know you're not. I just like to bust your balls.
See? There it is again. I could say, I love cats. And people would go, you're so full of it. I love food. Nah, come on. You're kidding.
So, nonetheless, I'm sorry. I interrupted your flow.
Oh, I'm out of flow. I'm so out of flow.
Oh, okay. So, Comic-Con, no, thanks. Maybe if they ever invite us as guests of honor, yeah, that'll happen. Not this year, certainly. Next question. Wait, let me find it. This is from Flannelore. Where do internet celebrities buy their t-shirts?
We have a favorite spot now.
Yes, we do. I believe we've plugged him in the past, but it's worth another plug. There's a website called Tiny Run.
Yeah.
TinyRun.com does short runs of customized, high-quality shirts, in many cases embroidered.
It's not for everyone, but it is for everyone sometimes.
Yes. This is where we got our bacon shirts that we sung the praises of so loudly on Twitter for some time and now wear quite often in concert.
Not just because the fat glows in the dark. The whole thing is awesome.
That was the glow in the dark icing on the fatty cake. But a wonderful website, interesting designs, not too fey, shall I say, for my tastes. I just ordered another shirt last week from him.
And I told you this, Paul, but I'm going to tell all you folks too. I did not order that shirt because I had a strong feeling that you were going to. And, you know, it's sort of like the, oh, gosh, Jane showed up in the same dress as I did, you know.
Yeah, we're like the Bobbsey twins anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, on the next awesome design, I'll just have to call dibs on it or something.
Yeah. Well, this actually is a discussion we'd had in the past. I like t-shirts and I like t-shirts with designs on them. And I am not afraid to use my like of t-shirts to pander a little bit. Mm-hmm. For example, I own a Guild t-shirt that I have worn on stage a bit. You know, back during our days of Felicia Day Watch, she of the Guild webcomic web series.
Right. Well before you called her a bitch.
Well before I called her a bitch, justifiably. we're just going to leave that mysterious. And
oh, no, I don't ever want to tell that tale. Just know it's not nearly as sinister or mean as it sounds.
No, we're still friends, aren't we? I hope. I don't mind pandering a bit. You know, I have a Captain Hammer shirt from Dr. Horrible's Sing Along blog, and I have the Guild shirt. which, you know, appeals to the geek fan base, and I won't deny that I wear them on stage to a certain degree to hear the little woots of recognition from the audience when I walk on wearing it.
Yeah.
But that's not solely it. It's not like I'm wearing a t-shirt of something that I don't like simply to pander to the base.
Right.
It's a shirt that I would wear
it's
anyway.
Genuine. Right.
Yeah.
And you have worn them on just off days here
I
and
have.
There. And they're good
I
designs.
Have, so, yeah. So that's a long-winded answer to where we get our t-shirts.
Holy smokes.
And let's see. It is, we're like 25 minutes in. You want to call this a...
Let's call it a success.
Call it a podcast.
You know what? I feel like, you know...
You know what? I'm going to do one more quick one, but
we're not
allowed to dwell on it. The other one that appealed to me was somebody was asking about fairs and carnivals. I'm sorry, I can't find your name. I think it was... Anyway, fairs and carnivals. My question to you, Storm, is have you ever won the large stuffed animal on the Midway? You know, the big one that you get jealous seeing them carry around.
Okay. I have, but I was a total tool for doing it.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
I swear I don't know this story. I didn't expect you to say yes.
I don't think I've ever told this story.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've won a number of very nice things for Gillian.
Mm-hmm.
But not like the Super Jumbo Prize. And back in high school, walking the midway of the Montgomery County Fair, Montgomery County, Maryland, I was with a bunch of high school friends and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking past one of those games where you have darts and you have to hit the balloons.
Yep.
And we're walking past, and I don't know, the carnival guy is like, hey, you know, metal hair dude, headbanger guy, because I had... really bad hair at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a mullet, actually.
Ugh.
I know. It was a mistake, and it only lasted a week. And in that week, the carnival barker spotted me and said, hey, head metal mullet dude guy. And the attention was on me, and I was surrounded by a bunch of these friends, and not really friends, but people in the group that I felt compelled to impress.
Right.
And he says... hey, win a prize for your girlfriend, which was my sister, right? But it didn't matter, because the gauntlet had been thrown down.
Sure.
When the carnival barker calls you out, you come. And he's like, okay, and he shoves these darts into my hand, not in the pointy side into my flesh, but in a way that I could grab them safely.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, all right, now hit the balloon. And I throw a dart, pop, it goes. All right, everybody cheers. Wow, I'm a hero. And I haven't paid a dime. All right, do it again. Pop. Do it again. Pop. All right, that's $5. And everybody's cheering. So I dig into my pocket and give him $5. And he's like, okay, you know the big prize is you know, here, more, take darts, throw. And I was so caught up and stupid and mulleted that swear to God, I don't know how many darts it was, but I was broke. And I had a giant teddy bear by the time it was all done.
Do you think it was $20?
It had to have been more than $20.
Was it 40?
I don't care to remember. It was a mullet hangover afterwards.
Yeah.
I should have shaved my head.
Ooh, that's a song right there.
Mullet hangover?
Write that down.
Hold on. I can only write with my left the way I'm configured, but...
Oh, well, you know, metaphorically write it down.
No, I'm writing it. It's just... Actually, it looks better than mine. Ooh, excuse me. That's the first time I belched on air.
Stay classy, San Diego.
I swear I didn't mean to belch.
Nobody ever means to belch.
No, there are times.
Okay. I was just trying to be sympathetic, but...
No, I appreciate it. I really do.
Well, nonetheless, there we go. That's a lovely story to cap off our little podcasty cast-a-roo.
I think we should operate this way normally, you know?
Yeah, certainly make it a regular feature. If not every week, it's certainly a go-to thing when we're feeling really frickin' lazy.
Well, no, let's see what the people say, because I think we sounded a little fresher than we might
sometimes. Can't hurt.
Sometimes.
Let us do the closing business. Let's see. We're off this coming weekend on Saturday, June 30th. We're going to be at the Edwards Opera House in Edwards, New York, upstate. going to be pretty. And then on the 19th and 20th of June, Friday and Saturday, we are at Chadwick's in Medford, Oregon. Two nights of awesome shows. We are going to be at PAX, Penny Arcade Expo, Labor Day weekend, September 4th through 6th. I believe, though don't quote me on this, I believe we will be performing on the Friday night, the 4th, but I don't know that that's official, so ignore that I just said that. More dates coming, though nothing nailed enough in stone to declare.
Yeah, that was thorough.
Yeah.
So, having done all of that, I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
We've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Hong Kong Phooey.
Go do things.
Inside and you're looking at the faces and the places and the traces in the air everywhere. It's a feeling of a magical, mystical, spectacle, fanatic as you're checking out the world's ninth wonder. Let's ride at the carnival. Freak show, sideshow, Mr. Electrical. The sparks are jumping high and the lines are getting longer. Step right up, can't you feel it getting stronger and the music's getting louder? Tickets, please. Let's ride at the carnival. And the smell of getting funky and you're feeling like a monkey in a cage in a rage. In a fun house tilt the world, feeling like a silly girl reflected in a funny mirror. Oops, there goes my last ride at the carnival. Last ride at the carnival before the wheel goes round. Thank you.